Saints of God, we are thankful that we have this opportunity to come together through this medium, through this form of worship. And for those that are with us throughout the world, both near and far, we're thankful to God that you are here. On behalf of the elders, we appreciate so very much your participation today. And most importantly, we want to just teach the word of God. As we think about the word of God today, our lesson is going to come from our lesson text, which is read in your hearing by Brother Brandon, Luke chapter 19 and verse 10. And before we go there, let me just say this, ain't nothing changed. Let me say it again, ain't nothing changed. The word of God will be preached. You all are both near and far, able to see and hear. And we got brothers that will adjust your video because we don't need any distractions. And you are all unmuted as well. But I hope I can hear you say amen. Giving everybody a big hug. And as we think about the word of God today, we got brothers Gail Nelson and Brother Ferreras who will be doing some reading of scripture. Because for those that are listening that are not members of the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, we worship every first day of the week. COVID-19 ain't going to do a thing to stop us. We're going to Luke 19. And so as we think about the word of God today, don't think for 1 minute that we're going to stop worshiping God. We're going to worship in spirit and in truth. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 19 and the verses 10. Gail, I want you to read that for me, son. We get an opportunity. Luke chapter 19 and the verse is 10. For those who are not members of the body, the Church of Christ, please understand. Just open your Bible. Pay close attention because you're going to hear exactly what you must do in order to be saved. And so here we are, Luke chapter 19, Brother Gail, in verse 10. What does the Bible say?
Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
Luke chapter 19 and the verse number 10. I did not hear him speaking. Luke 19 and 10. Gail, you there, brother?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Go and read it.
"For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost."
For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, what's the context here? And y'all get that audio right now because I don't need any distractions as we preach the word of God today. In Luke chapter 19, the Bible says in verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a certain man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, tax collectors, and he was rich." So Jesus was passing through Jericho. Keep in mind, Jesus was passing through that way. There was a man who was a tax collector. Tax collectors were not well liked at all. But the Bible says this man, Zacchaeus, heard about it. And not only that, he was a tax collector. Look at verse 3. "Seeing Jesus" is our lesson today. Seeing Jesus. "And he sought to see Jesus." Most people are looking on TV, hearing about the number of people that are sick, and we are certainly praying for those that are sick. Not minimizing that at all. Many are looking at, what's going on in my area? People are seeing a lot of things today. What people need to see more than anything right now, saints and visiting friends, is Jesus. Verse 3, Luke 19. "He sought to see Jesus, who he was, and he could not," here it is, "for the press, because he was of a little stature." Let me just ask you all this question. What length will you go to and through to see Jesus? What will you go through to see Jesus? Because one of the things we need to recognize is we make excuses. There should be zero excuses. This man was short. The Bible says he was short, little of stature. And there was a crowd for the press, verse 3. So what did he do? And again, here's the question for you. How far am I willing to go to see Jesus, who he is? Not denominational, Jesus, because there's no such thing. Not, you can serve your God, I'll serve mine. There's only one God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here's the question. How far are you willing to go? Are you willing? Don't make excuses. And not only that, recognize that physical limitations are just opportunities for growth. Physical limitations are opportunities for growth. Barriers are building blocks for development. And so the question becomes, if we don't make excuses, if we are willing to grow and develop, if we truly want to have the building blocks for spiritual development, then you need to get in position to see Jesus. Let's go back to the text. Luke chapter 19. We pick it up at verse number 4. We know that Zacchaeus was a tax collector. We know that Zacchaeus knew Jesus was coming through Jericho. We recognize there was a crowd. We recognize he was a short man. He was of little stature. But did he make excuses? No, sir, no, ma'am. Did he recognize the physical barriers? He knew that there were barriers, but it was an opportunity for the development. Did he know that there was physical limitations? Yes. What did he do? Verse 4. And he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, seeing Jesus. For he was to pass that way. See, quit making excuses. Those that are here that may be on this line through this medium of hearing God's word, singing the songs of Zion, please understand. Many folks have not been coming to worship. The time is now to get back with God. Look at what he says in verse 5. And when Jesus came to the place, see, you need to be in position. All of us need to be in position to see, hear, and obey Jesus. This man didn't make excuses. He got in position. A little short man, you know, you short, it's even harder to climb up a tree. So he climbs a tree, gets in position to see Jesus. And look at what Jesus says. And when Jesus came, verse 5, Luke 19. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, he was in position, Zacchaeus, hurry up, make haste, and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. Saints of God and visiting friends, he was in position. He didn't make excuses. The physical barriers just simply became an opportunity for development. The barriers, if you will, were just building blocks to be better. And we all can be better because of Jesus. He says, today, I must abide at your house. Verse 6. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, there's always somebody watching. There's people thinking about, what are you all doing today? What's your church going to do now? Well, we're going to keep praising God. We're going to keep worshiping God. And the Bible says in verse number 7, when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. There will always be haters. So here's the message. Don't worry about them. They're going to be there all the time. But the Bible says in verse number 8, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. See, once you see Jesus, you begin to see yourself. Once you see Jesus, you begin to see yourself. And you recognize that there's things you need to get right. And Zacchaeus recognized this. Remember his job. He was a tax collector. And Zacchaeus, verse 8, Luke 19, stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Repentance leads to restitution. Repentance leads to restitution. Repentance is a change of heart. Restitution means to, is more of a restoration, to get, make it right, to mitigate the damage, using some legal terms there. But the bottom line is, Zacchaeus, once he got in position to see Jesus, once he came into contact with Jesus, he wanted to get it right. If I've done anything, he says, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I've taken anything, verse 8, from any man by false accusation, if I lie, I will restore him fourfold. Not getting right, he's going to be four times better because of the impact of Jesus. We are exponentially better because of Christ. And Jesus said unto him, this day, saints, get this now, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. Now, what did Jesus say in verse 10, our lesson text? For the Son of Man. Here's the reason. It wasn't about the sycamore tree. It wasn't about Zacchaeus. It wasn't about tax collecting. It was about salvation. We need to be in position to be saved. Jesus says in Luke 19 and verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's our building block for today's lesson. Only my intro, by the way, because y'all got plenty of time. The Bible says that this man, Zacchaeus, knew Jesus was coming that way. He didn't make any excuses. He made sure that he was in a position to see Jesus. I want to share one more example biblically that relates to friendship, that relates to barriers, but it also relates to seeing Jesus. And I want this to stick with you. Lesson one, or example one, was Zacchaeus. He did what it took to come into contact with Jesus. Turn your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 2. Gail, Lena, I'm going to give you guys one more chance now. I want y'all to read some scriptures for me. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. Engineer, go ahead and unmute Gail or Lenny, or maybe even both of them, whoever you need to. Let's go to Mark chapter 2. And I want to take a look at a couple verses here. Mark the second chapter. I was about to say, when you all get there, say amen, but you can still say it wherever you are. So I know that you're there. I can't hear you, but I feel you. Mark chapter 2. Another example, a vivid example of those who sought to see Jesus. Mark chapter 2. Brethren, Brother Lenny and Brother Gail, whoever has it, start reading at verse number 1. We're going to take a few verses at a time. Go ahead. Mark chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. Read.
And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house.
Wait a minute now, Lenny. So the Bible says that it was reported, it was noise that Jesus was to enter into Capernaum after a few days. So we know Jesus is on the scene. He would be present. Go ahead and read.
And straightway many were gathered together, and as much that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much so about the door, and he preached the word unto them.
Hold your point, Lenny. Now, saints and visiting friends, we know Jesus is in Capernaum. In verse 2, the Bible says, straightway, many were gathered together. Many were gathered together. You know, you see football and sporting events, basketball events, thousands upon thousands of people gather to be entertained. Thousands upon thousands go to concerts to be entertained. Wouldn't it be great if thousands upon thousands, millions upon millions, gathered together to hear the word of God in spirit and in truth? So the Bible says in Mark 2 and verse 2 that there were many gathered together. There was insomuch there was no room to receive them. They were packed. No, not so much as about the door. You could not get in the door. And stay with me, folks. You couldn't get in. Why? Because Jesus was there, and he preached the word unto them. Go ahead and read verse 3.
And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four.
Hold your point. There was a man, a paralytic, he was sick. And the Bible says he was carried by four of his friends. His friends brought him to Jesus. Yes, it was a crowd. They could have said, I'm sorry, it's too packed. Let's come back another time. Let's come back when it's more convenient. The Bible says you couldn't get in the door. There was a crowd. It was packed. And four of his friends, and he was paralyzed. He had to be carried. Four, the Bible says in Mark chapter 2 and in verse number 3, they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born or carried by four. And that's a true friend. Let me just pause for a minute. If you are a friend to anybody, if you're going to be a friend to Jesus, tell folks about him. Tell them how good he's been to you. Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he was literally carried by four of his friends. Thank God for true friends. You're going to be a true friend to somebody. They need to know about Jesus. What happened next? Here we go.
And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And
when they had broken it up. When they could not come near him, they couldn't get anywhere close to Jesus. Not only was it difficult to have one person walk in, but now you got a man being carried by four. That's five of them total. They couldn't get in. They could have gone home, as we said. But the Bible says when they could not come near because of the crowd or the press, they went up to the roof and uncovered the roof where he was. Read, Lenny.
When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay.
Brothers and sisters, visiting friends, the Bible lets us know that these men went to great lengths. These true friends saw the physical barrier. It became an opportunity for growth. These men saw not only the barrier or the physical limitation, it became an opportunity to develop. It became a building block for growth. No effort, no excellence. Let me say that again. No effort, no excellence. They said, we want to see Jesus. This man is in need of Jesus. So we're going to go up to the roof, carry the man, go up to the roof, break open the roof. And the Bible says, and they let down the bed, Mark 2 and 4, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And so when you go to that level of effort, to those lengths, to see Jesus, our lesson today, guess what, folks? You have an opportunity to make an impact and to be impacted. Verse 5, read.
When Jesus saw their faith.
Hold it. When Jesus saw their faith. What is faith? Faith is a reliance. Faith is a dependence. Faith is a trust. Faith is a conviction. When Jesus saw to what extent these men were willing to go, when Jesus recognized that, wait a minute, they got all this crowd of people. They go to the rooftop, break open the roof, let the man down. When he saw their faith, faith is not sitting back idly and doing nothing. Faith without works is dead, being alone. When Jesus saw their faith, the Bible says, what did he do?
He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee.
Now, I want you all to understand something here sequentially, chronologically, in a certain order. The man was paralyzed, laying in a bed, carried in the little bed, or the cot, more appropriately put. And Jesus, you know, again, he wanted to be healed, but Jesus gave him what he needed first. Before he healed the man, he forgave the man. The Bible says, Jesus looked, saw their faith, verse 5. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I'm sure when we get into prayer requests after this lesson and responses, a lot of folks are in need of prayer for a lot of things. The most important thing you need right now is Jesus. Recognize we need to be forgiven of our sins. And so the Bible says, Jesus saw their faith. He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Come on, Lenny.
But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and the reasoning of their hearts.
Now, just like in Zacchaeus's day, when we went over to Luke 19 to start the lesson, they were haters. There were those murmuring saying, oh, instead of saying Zacchaeus is with Jesus, they began hating on him, saying Jesus is sitting down with sinners. And so it is here. In Mark chapter 2, these men go to great lengths to see Jesus. And here are the murmurers. And I want you all to understand how they murmur. Because see, there's some folks who may be in service today. You don't say it out loud, but you certainly think it. Let me say that one more time. You are just as guilty when you're thinking evil, even though you're not speaking evil. You're just as guilty when you're envious in your heart and you're not saying anything to that brother or that sister. Let me be plain. Because watch what Jesus does here. The Bible says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning, as Brother Lenny read, reasoning, verse 6, in their hearts. For the benefit of those that are listening and watching today, heart is not talking about the blood pump. It's talking about the seat of sensibility. You see where I'm pointing. This is the heart. It's the mind. What's on your mind today? Don't let COVID-19 drive you crazy. Yes, be smart. Yes, be safe. Wash your hands. But the most important thing you need to be washed up are your sins. Wouldn't it be what good is it? Okay, you survive COVID-19 and lose your soul. Let that simmer for a minute. The Bible says, even in the midst of incredible effort, incredible faith, there were some people sitting there reasoning in their hearts. And what do they say in their mind, Brother Lenny? 7. Verse 7.
Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?
Thank you, Brother Lenny. The Bible says they were sitting there watching all this take place. And they now even the devil can tell the truth. Now, we know the devil is a liar, but now they accurately understood that who is this man speaking blasphemies, speaking lies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They were right. That God is the only one that can forgive your sins. So quit trusting some so-called reverend. Quit trusting these people leading denominationalism. Trust God. And the Bible says these men sitting back, scribes and Pharisees, to be specific, were thinking to themselves, they were not saying this out loud. What's he over here talking about all these lies? Who can forgive sins but God only? But look at what Jesus said in verse 8. Come on.
And immediately when Jesus perceived in the spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts?
I want you all to understand something. Just because you don't say it doesn't mean God doesn't know. And we have a way about it. You know, again, we have a way about ourselves. You know, you can always tell when somebody's envious of you, saying, how you doing, sister? I got this new car and I got this new man. Well, this, you know, I just got married, something like that. And, mm-hmm. So you know what? You didn't say much, but you said everything you needed to say. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for y'all. Recognize, we ought to be thankful for what God has given to us. We ought to be thankful and mindful of our thoughts. Our thoughts. The Bible says, and immediately Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves. In other words, Jesus knew that they were thinking some things that were not healthy, that were not helpful, that were not godly. And so Jesus didn't just think it to himself. He had to confront it. Brothers and sisters, confront in love. But we need to address things that are of issue. The Bible says, Jesus asked them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Why are you thinking such a thing? Read, Brother Lenny, verse 9 and 10.
Whether is it easier to say the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk?
Jesus said, it would be easier just for me to go ahead and just heal him. But I want you to see, and this man to see, the power of God first. He forgave him of his sins first. Then he says, come on. Verse 10.
But that ye know the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy.
What do you say to the sick of the palsy, Lenny? Verse 11.
I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house.
And the Bible says, thank you, Lenny, and saints of God and visiting friends, Jesus says, I want you to know and see the power of God. These four carried a friend. They brought a friend to Jesus. And there's no greater friend than Jesus. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And what Jesus basically said is, I could have easily just healed him. Easily. But I want you to see the power of God. Then he said to the sick of the palsy, if you will, in verse 11, get up, arise. He's on a cot. He's paralyzed. So there's a big old crowd. Get up, take up your bed. You're going to carry your own bed now. They carried you in a cot. You're going to carry the cot back because you're about to walk because of the power of God. Get up, arise, arise, take up that bed. Go thy way into thine house. And the Bible says in verse 12, and immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God. Here it is, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Brothers and sisters and visiting friends, they said, we ain't never seen anything like this. I said it the way I meant it as well. We ain't never seen anything like this. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Gail, I want you to turn over to Mark 16, beginning at verse 15. Gail, turn to Mark 16, and I want verse 15. Hold your place right there. I'll be with you in a minute. To all our visiting friends, someone invited you today. A friend sent you a Zoom link. A friend sent you the link to be with us today in worship. You may be with us in worship, but that doesn't mean you're saved. There's nothing I can say to you in terms of touch the computer screen, you know, send money. No, sir, no, ma'am. You need to hear what God wants you to do to see Jesus. Zacchaeus did everything in his power to see Jesus. You know, these four men who carried their friend went to see Jesus, and Jesus saw their faith. So today can be the day of salvation for you as well. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, I want you to begin reading, Gail, in verse 15. Mark chapter 16, I want you to begin. Get that audio right, brothers, because we're about to zoom on in to close out this lesson. Gail Nelson, the second. Mark 16, beginning in verse 15. Read the Bible.
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Hold your point, son. It's not Jesus speaking. He said, now you go into all the world. Now keep in mind, the whole world. And this is interesting. A pandemic by definition means a worldwide, you know, sickness, a worldwide epidemic. It affects the whole world. So at this time in history, the entire world knows more about, when you say corona, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, people think you're drinking a beer. That's what people are talking about with corona. We're talking about a worldwide virus that everybody knows about now. So if the world can come to its knees based on some germs, infection, stuff that's nasty, that will make you sick, can't the world come into grips with the one who can forgive sins? The greatest germ of all is sin. Sin will cost us our soul. And brothers and sisters and visiting friends, I want you to listen carefully on how you ought to be saved. I know for a fact, we got folks on the line right now that are members of a denominational organization. I said organization, not church. I don't mean you any harm. But you're about to hear book, chapter, and verse on what you must do to be saved. The Bible says in Mark 16 and verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the what, Gail?
The gospel.
The gospel, the good news, the glad tidings. To how many folks, son? Read.
To every creature.
To every creature, to everyone born. Come on, what do we need to do? What is, once they hear the gospel, the glad tidings, what do they need to do, son? Read.
He that believeth.
He that believeth.
And is baptized.
And is baptized. Hold your point. Don't you tell me baptism is optional. And I'm not talking about a baby being christened, because that is not baptism. I'm not talking about you being quote unquote saved and then you're going to be baptized later. You're not saved. What I'm telling you, what the Bible, forget me, what the Bible is saying, once you've heard the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings of Jesus Christ, and I want you to write some scriptures down for technological sake, but also for your, as you listen to this lesson, write down 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. That breaks down the facts of the gospel. Gail, you stay right there. That breaks down the facts of the gospel. The gospel is a death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. The gospel saves us, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And so the gospel has to be preached, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. The gospel has to be heard. It has to be received, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. So though Jesus said, Mark 16, again, 15 and 16, go unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is, what, Gail?
And is baptized.
And is baptized shall be?
Shall be saved.
Read, shall be saved. So the Bible lets us know that once you've heard the gospel, you believe the gospel, that does something to you like it did to Zacchaeus. That makes you change your mind. Jesus says in Luke 13:3-5, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You got to be willing to change your mind. And so this is the plan of salvation, folks. You hear and believe what Jesus Christ has done for your sins. And once you've heard and believe that, you got to repent. You got to change your mind. Luke 13:3-5 for your notes. Acts 17:30 for your notes. Gail, you stay right there. Acts 17:30 for your notes. In Acts 17:30, the Bible says, in the times of ignorance, God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Once you've heard and believed what Christ has done for you, for the whole world, if you believe that with all your heart, that he died for our sins, that he was buried, Jesus Christ was buried, and he rose again the third day, if you believe that, you should be willing to change your mind, repent. And once you repent, you should be willing to confess Christ to be the Son of God. Jesus says in Matthew 10:32, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Whosoever therefore shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. If we don't confess Christ to be the Son of the God, then we can't be saved. And if you don't get baptized, Gail, what does the Bible say in Mark 16:16? Read. He that believeth not, or he that does not, come on, read it.
And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved.
Come on.
But he that believeth not shall be damned.
He that believeth not, and he that believeth not shall be what?
Damned.
Shall be damned, shall be condemned. Brother Rick dealt with that in Bible class this morning. So brothers and sisters and visiting friends, here's the question. Do you want to see Jesus? I'm not just talking now. I'm talking for eternity. If you don't obey the gospel now, to heaven you cannot go. You can't be saved. I don't mean any doom and gloom today. I want you to know what the Bible clearly states. There are those who don't know God. There's those who don't believe in God. There are those that may be listening that say, well, any church will do. It doesn't matter. Turn your Bible to 2 Thessalonians 1. Brothers, wait for me in Acts 2. We're going to 2 Thessalonians 1. Turn your Bibles over there. I'll give you about 10 seconds. 2 Thessalonians 1. We're going to begin reading at verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians 1. We'll begin reading at verse number 7. 2 Thessalonians 1. We'll begin reading at verse number 7. The Bible says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Jesus is coming back again. So Zacchaeus knew Jesus was coming that way, passing through Jericho. He got in a position to receive a blessing. When they knew that Jesus was in Capernaum, his home city, if you will, when they knew he was going through Capernaum, those men carrying one who was able to walk got in the way, got in position to receive their blessing. And so now I'm saying to everybody under the sound of my voice, Jesus is coming back again. Here it is again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't obey the gospel, when he comes back, he's not going to say, well done. If you don't obey the gospel, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, then you're added to the body of the church of Christ. If you haven't done that, when Christ comes back, the Bible says, not me, the Bible, that he's going to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to them? The Bible says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting means it lasts forever. So if you want to be in a position to get your blessing, you want to be in a position to be saved, because people use that phrase all the time. I want to go get my blessing. Well, all spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 7. So if you're not in Christ, blessing means benefit. You may have a good job. And as Brother Lenny Ferreira said, we pray for those that are struggling, that 2 weeks ago were doing well, maybe waiting on tables. Now they may be unemployed. So that's a benefit physically. The greatest benefit goes back to the greatest love of all, the love of Christ, the love of our Father, who gave us the opportunity to be saved. So before we close out and sing our song of encouragement, I want you to go to Acts 2. Brethren, take me to Acts 2, please. Ferreras, take me to Acts chapter 2. And I want you to begin reading at about verse 36, because you're going to find a couple things will happen here. I want you to turn your Bibles to Acts 2, class, or visiting friends, saints, class, whatever y'all are. Everybody, turn to Acts 2. Acts 2, we want to begin reading verse 36. You're going to see conviction. You will see not only conviction, you're going to find out what men ask, what mankind is asking once they realize that Jesus is coming that way and they have an opportunity to be saved. Listen to the Bible, Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 36. Read.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
So the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 36 that let the whole house of Israel know assuredly that God made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Jesus is Lord. He has all authority. Not Peter, not some pope, not John the Baptist, nobody. Jesus is Lord. Lord means he has all authority. What did Jesus say in Mark chapter 2? I want you to know that I have authority to heal this man. I have power. How much power does Jesus have? Matthew 28 and verse 18 says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. No man, no rabbi, no so-called pope, no sister, no brother. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen, church. Jesus Christ is Lord. And the Bible says in Acts 2 and verse 36, let the whole house of Israel know assuredly, without controversy, without question, that God made that same Jesus who was crucified, whom they crucified, God the Father made him, Jesus Christ, Lord, all authority, and Christ. The same one who has all authority is the Savior of the world. Read.
Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Hold your point, Lenny. So now once you hear, once they heard, like you're hearing, that Jesus is the only way you can be saved, once you recognize, once they understood, my goodness, we see Jesus who he is. Then it comes back to us. Zacchaeus, when he saw Jesus, was convicted. Are you convicted today? Are you comfortable just following tradition? Are you comfortable following mama's tradition? Maybe Catholic tradition, maybe just, you know, whatever tradition that you've ever, you just, it just seems to be the way to what everybody else is doing, just following popular opinion. When they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? That's the question. If sinner's prayer saved your soul today, that's what you will hear next. If being christened saved your soul today, that's what you're going to hear next. What does the Bible say in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38? Read.
Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Full circle. I don't know what Brother Rick was going to teach in Bible class, but you talk about a perfect setup. The response to their conviction and to your conviction today is repent, change your mind. Now that you've heard about Jesus, now that you see Jesus by faith, repent and be baptized. Every one of you for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, if we drop down to verse 41 of Acts chapter 2, you have an option today, folks. You can accept this or you can reject it. There is no in between. You either in Christ or you're out of Christ. Acts 2 verse 41, read.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
I tell you what, there may be social distancing, but we have somebody that's on this call, somebody that can see us on the screen, somebody that can hear the truth being preached, and you want to say, I want to come out of traditionalism, I want to come out of denominationalism, I want to just be saved. I don't want to fool around. This pandemic has woken me up. I don't want to play with my soul anymore. We will find a way, one-on-one. And I tell you what, we're going to immerse you in water, we're going to baptize you today. We don't need 100 people there. We can put it on camera so everybody else can see it, socially distant, but we're going to baptize you today, because today is a day of salvation. You can accept, you can receive it, or you can reject it. Those who received it were baptized in the same day, not first Sunday, not some special holy day. According to man's tradition, today is a day of salvation. They were baptized in the same day. There was added unto them. Added unto them, Brother Lenny, about 3,000 souls. Now, Lenny, what were they added to? Acts 2 and verse 47. Read.
Praising God.
Praising God.
And having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
They were added to the church. The church of Christ began in Jerusalem around AD 33. Everything else that came after that is not the Lord's church. Everything else that came after the church that Jesus died for is a denomination. You want to see Jesus? You got to see him through his word. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Science ain't going to save your soul. Money's not going to save your soul. Isn't it something this pandemic has caused us to recognize? It doesn't discriminate, white, black, rich, or poor. It doesn't discriminate whether you are standing in line at a store, ordering food on Amazon, or whatever you're doing. It has brought this world to its knees. But that's a virus. The Bible says one day every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, thank you, brother, for reading for me. Mute them up. If you're here today, I pray to God that you heard something that's going to cause you just to stop. We got people quarantined in their homes, some self-quarantined, some sick physically. Those that are well physically, you still need a physician spiritually, the great physician, Jesus the Christ. I hope, trust, and pray that you heard something today that can help you get closer to God and see Jesus. A song has been selected. You need to respond in any way. We got a chat that's open. You can put your prayer request in there. You can put whatever your desire is in that chat, and be concise, be clear, but most importantly, recognize that God loves you. I'm going to say it anyway, because I don't care where you are. If you're able, as we stand and as we sing the song of encouragement, I am resolved. I hope, trust, and pray you respond today before it's everlastingly too late. A resolution means a firm determination to do something. You should be determined to see Jesus. As we together stand, as we together sing, won't you come?